Oh, it's Friday morning, Roo.
Oh, you beauty.
Yeah.
I'm a bit up and about. Yeah. Perfect weather, plenty to do in Adelaide, and just ready to run amok all weekend.
Actually, I'm heading down to the Fringe tonight for the first time.
Hey.
Yeah, we're going to go to a show.
What are you wearing?
What do you mean?
You got to get all fringy, dude. You can't go down there in a bloody golf shirt or something, you know, like that.
You've got to fuck up.
Yep.
Okay. I'll put a bit of effort in then.
Think about it before you go, otherwise you'll stand out down there.
All right, big show today. Tom Jonas, one of the new co-captains of Port Adelaide.
I'm looking forward to
going to join us.
He is a great lad. He's tough as old pots and pans, as Rhett Biglins would say, and he will be a great captain for the Port Adelaide Football Club.
Do you know something impressive about him? He qualified as a lawyer last year.
Port Adelaide
he
need
has
that.
Studied while he's being an AFL player at the same time. Yeah, he'll get a bit of work down there. That's right.
He'll have all these past players ringing up. How good's this? This bloke from
Mate
Nord. This is good having these red legs blokes over here.
Hey, we're going to meet a funny lady. We interviewed her last year during the Fringe. She's a local, Georgie Carroll.
Yes.
Very funny. So she's coming in. She's a nurse and she's got millions of funny stories.
We'll find out about the new Samsung phone with Trevor Long. James Brayshaw is going to join us to talk AFLX. Gets underway tonight at Marvel Stadium.
Do you know the rules yet? I asked you yesterday and you didn't know anything.
I'm getting there. Hey, it's tonight. Okay. I don't have to do it early. There's so much stuff doing in Adelaide at the moment.
And Tex Walker's one of the commentators.
My God.
Mm.
Anyway, that'll be great. Tex will work out a couple of funny things to say on the boundary line. Plus, we've got the $1 million song. Plus, we've got $1,000 cash in the pressure test.
Roo and Ditts here on Triple M.
Roo and Ditts. Top three things you need to know.
Roo, making news, we heard yesterday, Julie Bishop will pull the pin on federal politics, so her seat in Western Australia becomes available. What do you think of Julie Bishop?
Well, like what I see for quite a long time, Ditts, we were saying how could she be the Prime Minister?
Yeah.
You know, no one spoke a bad word about her publicly, and she always come across well and always looked like she did a good job. Dig a bit deeper, I think you find out a few different sort of attitudes towards her.
I always thought, I would have been really happy for her to be the leader and to be the Prime Minister because I've always thought that she's really impressive when she speaks publicly. But you're right, it's funny, when you ask people within politics, they sort of speak a bit negatively about her behind closed doors. However, that's not unusual though, is it, Roo? I mean, they're all whinges, they all have a crack at each other.
Politicians don't knife each other, do they, behind closed doors?
So, and there's a headline in the paper today, she might be the best leader that we never had. But we'll never get to know now.
No, I think if she would have been Ditts, she would have got the job, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
In these times of turmoil and change and you know, lots of people would have wanted a woman to be the leader of the Liberal Party. There's probably a lot that didn't as well. But anyway, she can finish up her career held in very high regard, I think, by most people, which you can't ask for much than that. She was born in Lobethal up in the hills, so... In 1956.
Yep, 62 years of age. Yeah. Roo, very sad day for me. I was a monkeys freak when I was a kid. I was obsessed. Peter Tork has passed away, age 77, and he was arguably the favourite monkey. Everyone loved him because he was really funny and silly and stupid in their TV show.
Having the monkeys.
Played guitar. But he was always... He acted the dumb one that everyone laughed at, did all the silly things in the TV show. It was a band put together... specifically for TV. So it's almost like...
Entertainers.
It was like how the Spice Girls were put together almost.
Really?
Yeah, similar. So
back when?
So some TV producers in the late 60s got together and said, we want to create a TV show and we're going to use a band. And they auditioned all of these young kids and came up with the Monkees. And people like Neil Diamond and Neil Sedaka and all sorts wrote songs for them.
Wow.
And they had all these big hits. But the Monkees were massive. And
when
some
did TV start?
Oh, in the late 50s, I think, in mid-50s in America.
Right.
But,
So it was made for entertainment on the box.
Yeah, and people thought at the time it was the Americans also trying to take on the Beatles because the UK had the Beatles who were massive, and so the Americans came up with the Monkees. But anyway, sad day. Peter Tork has passed away.
No good at all.
Our newsreader, Sean Maynard, cracking a few gags this morning early, in case you missed it. Now, let's have a listen to this story about Burnside.
Well, just like lots of its residents, Burnside Village is getting a facelift. The $360 million revamp.
How dare he say that
What
Burnside
suburb do you live in?
Burnside.
Right. So all the Burnside people with their facelifts, now their shopping centre's getting
Sean
a facelift.
Sean Maynard. Who drives past the Burnside Village up to the Adelaide Hills, hang your head in shame, don't judge everyone who lives in Burnside, but that will be fantastic. We'll suck my missus in there a bit more, I think, to get a bit more shopping done. But, yeah, 360 mil.
Yeah, I find when my wife drives past there, it's just a magnet. It just, she doesn't mean to turn in there. She just, the car, the indicator goes on, it just, the car just goes in there of its own volition, its own free will.
So everyone will be very happy. So all those shops on Green Hill Road that look tired and run down, apparently they're all tired and run down.
Because, oh, it's very un-Burnside to be tired and run down.
That is the stage where they're doing it. They're building it right up around.
The shops are getting therapy.
Even the banks look tired, even the banks.
Well, there's that much money in them. They're buckling under the weight.
They try and throw off a poor image on the outside so they don't get knocked off.
That's right. There's no money. Cash inside. No money here.
Yeah,
but, in fact, didn't Gleeso do a song about Burnside as well?
Oh, he did.
Rolling, Range Rovers are rolling. White Jeeps keep on rolling, Burnside.
There you go. Anyway, good morning to everyone in the eastern suburbs.
Yeah, something about
you're still listening.
Wallets are overflowing.
Yeah. All right, that's what's making news around the place. In a moment, we'll hear from Limo, Ruin Dits here on Triple M.
Ruin Dits for breakfast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Limo!
I'm Anthony Lehman.
Oh, yes. Hello, good morning, Limo. The clean-shaven Limo. What's happened?
Where's your Mo, Limo?
I'm now just Lee instead of Limo. I shaved it off. I've had a beard for basically, or a Mo, for 5 years, right? My son's 2.5, and I shaved 2 days ago. I went into his bedroom yesterday morning. I took him out of the cot. It was still a bit dark. And he actually looked at me and got scared. I could see it in his face. And he must have been thinking his mum was having an affair. He did not recognise me. Then he was kind of reaching out and patting my lip as if to say, "Where's that mo gone, Dad? You look weird."
Why have you had a shave?
Oh, I've got a bit of work coming up. I'm playing a character, and my character is clean shaven.
Right.
So, really? Little acting job.
Little acting gig.
Yeah.
Right.
No, they don't want to give
too much. Wasn't a court appearance, was it? No, nothing like that.
All right, yes, Your Honour.
Thank you.
My lawyer recommended a clean shave.
Do your best, son, because you're in a bit of shit here.
I tell you what, the magistrate's court frowns upon a handlebar moustache. So I shaved that
Chopper
thing off.
Hasn't done too well in court before.
No, he hasn't. Hey, now, guys, AFLX, tomorrow night, are people excited about this?
We're up and about over here. Yeah. We've been paper rock scissoring each other all morning.
Paper rock scissors. Yeah. Dits, I know you're a massive fan.
Yep.
How have they come up with this concept? Toss a bloody coin.
Mate, come on, paper rock scissors.
For those that have missed it, this is true.
People don't have cash anymore, Dits.
No, that's right. We are cashless. Yeah. The captains are going to get together in the middle of the ground and go paper rock scissors.
Yes. Yeah. I want them to use this right across the regular season. Yeah. And I also want super coach points delivered for wins and losses on you. And I want stats as well. Go well. Here comes Paddy Dangerfield. He's had 10 rocks this year, 4 papers.
Will he go the scissors?
And 2 scissors. Will he deliver a scissors here? Out of character for him. He could.
He's chopping them up tonight.
But AFLX. My only criticism of AFLX is the season's a bit too long.
Why?
It starts at 7 PM tomorrow and finishes at 9:30.
Is it only on one night?
It's just one night.
Really?
Shit, they've gone to a lot of trouble for this.
I thought it started last night and it must have went all weekend or something.
No, just one night. It went for 3 nights last year and they genuinely went, it's a bit long.
So cut it back to 2.5 hours.
So
how many games have they got in one night?
I think there's, they play each other once, so there's 4 teams. So I don't know.
So AFLX players get long service leave at some stage.
You do the maths. Hey, next year, Dits, it'll be just paper, scissor, rock. That'll be it.
And then walk off.
and then they wander off the ground.
Then they'll have to have a 4-day break. Tex is doing the microphone on the boundary tomorrow night. You did that last year, didn't you?
So I've been boned for Tex Walker. Is that what I'm hearing? Oh no. This is what happens. You've got to watch your back in the media. There's all these young footballers coming through.
Exactly right.
I'm sure Tex will do a great job. Hey, and quickly for you guys, Donald Trump, I don't know if you guys have heard of him. He's the president of the United States.
Yeah, following him a bit.
He's done a little renovation at the White House.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what that is in a sec. But before I do, I'm going to count down the top five renovations of US presidents.
Okay.
Because once you're in the White House, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your gaff once you're there, so you just get to go for it. So I'm going to give a top five. Coming at number five, Franklin Roosevelt. Love this. He put in a swimming pool.
Fair enough.
Wouldn't that be nice? You just go, I'm feeling this. I'm a bit hot and bothered. Can someone build me a pool?
Yeah. And well, then, I think that's fair.
4 hours later, there's a swimming pool for you right there. So well done, Franklin Roosevelt. Richard Nixon put in a bowling alley.
A bowling alley?
Yeah. But one lane bowling alley. Clearly had no mates.
Just in a 10-pin.
Bit of 10-pin bowling. Exactly. Yeah. There we go. Teddy Roosevelt put in a tennis court.
Right.
This is like a holiday resort, this joint.
I know. And Barack Obama, interestingly, later converted that tennis court into a basketball court.
Right.
Later on. So that's number three. Coming at number two, Bill Clinton. He put in stripper poles and a cigar bar.
I thought something was happening there.
That went very well. But coming in at number one, Donald Trump has just installed in the White House an $80,000 room-sized golf simulator.
Oh, how did I guess
that? So I don't know if you guys have ever seen, but they're amazing. You can choose courses around the world, and it looks like you're actually playing golf. It looks and feels like the real thing. But it's not. A little bit like his wife simulator, Melania. seems like the real thing, but it's not real. So there it is, your top five, guys. Hey, a quick one. I'm going to give you a couple of fringe recommendations too. I gave you a few on Monday. Three more for the weekend. Dave Callan, very funny Australian-Irish comedian. Go and see him. Mm-hmm. Michael Schaefer, another brilliant up-and-coming comic. And Alex Ward is a comic. She's a writer on the project. And she makes me laugh a lot. I highly recommend her show as well.
Alex
Ward. So there's
your
three for this weekend.
Good on you, Limo.
Well done, Limo.
Thanks,
good
guys.
Talk next week. Ruined It's on Triple M.
What a goal!
Ruined It's overnight sports.
Pledge to quit smoking by round one, March 21st at triplemlovesaquitter.com.au.
A lot of talk about Port Adelaide's co-captains, Roo. Now, Tom Jonas, one of them, will join us just after 7 o'clock. But let's hear from the coach, Ken Hinckley.
This role has got bigger than it's ever been. You know, the information we kept getting was this can be a working party that's incredibly successful. I'll say it one more time. It gives us the absolute best chance to win. And there's the one thing I know that Port Adelaide people and us as a football club stand for. It's winning, and we think this gives us the absolute best chance to win. We'll never jeopardise anything other than winning at this football club. It's the most important part.
All right.
What do you think about that?
Then I've got to take on board what he says. They are about winning. They've made this decision because they think it's best for the football club at the moment.
I know Travis Boak gave them information, Dits, and really strongly pushed them towards co-captains. He just said the role has grown that much that he thinks it'd be better to have two. That's what I found out yesterday.
Okay. Mm. All right. Now, Ollie Wines is the other co-captain. Let's hear from Ollie.
Yeah, I've only really got the sling off for this, to be honest. But no, it's coming along. In the sling for probably another week or two, but all things are on track and realistically probably looking around the first month of the season. So we'll keep progressing in the gym and then eventually to running and, won't be long.
As I said, Tom Jonas will join us just after 7 o'clock, Roo.
Sounds like he's going to play round 2, 3, 4,
something
think?
Like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Crows and the Power under 23 clash tomorrow morning down at Theberton Oval, okay? So looking forward to that, to see the young guns in action, Roo.
Yeah, and then they play the following week in Port Pirie, Dits. I think it's going to be over 40 degrees up at Port Pirie next Saturday, so that'll be a tough one.
It will. AFLX starts tonight. We're going to talk to James Brayshaw from Channel 7 a little bit later on about all the action that will unfold tonight. Crows
starts
women.
And finishes tonight.
Yeah, the season, yeah.
As I found out.
There's been a heck of a lot of promotion and money and time spent on something that's going to go for 2 hours.
Yeah, bit of fun.
The Crows women tomorrow night up in Darwin against Fremantle.
Yep.
Talking soccer. Adelaide United take on the Jets in Newcastle on Sunday. And good news, the Lightning, our women's basketball team, they reckon a new ownership team will be announced within days. So that is
that's good news.
Yeah. Hey, that's our look at sport. Pledge to quit smoking by round one, March 21st. Go to triplemlovesaquitter.com.au.
Not far away from our millionaire song. We've got the week that was coming up. But up next, the Angels.
Ladies, ruined dits for breakfast on Triple M.
We thought you girls were sugar and spice and all things nice.
Ruined dits, angels.
Good morning, angels.
Good Good morning, Ruin Dits.
Righto, we've got Emma G. How are you, Em?
Hi, I'm great, thanks.
Yeah, good. Coming up after 9 o'clock, rocking the discs here on Triple M. We've got Batesy. How are you, Batesy?
I'm good.
And Alice the Wag.
Can I just, Pasqua is from, what'd you say?
Clarence Gardens.
Clarence Gardens. I said, on the screen it's got from Plant Gardens.
Plant Gardens.
Plant Gardens. I checked twice, she says. Alice.
I did check twice. Say Clarence Gardens really fast.
Clarence Gardens.
Yeah, Plant Gardens. Oh.
It's all right.
Righto.
I know it's all right. I'm trying my hardest.
Yeah, and that's all we can do.
Yeah.
Rue, I overheard a conversation in the office here the other day, and some of the angels might have been involved, but they might not have been too. I'm not sort of pointing any fingers here or anything like that, but girls are up in arms about all this Me Too stuff and how things have changed now that I heard one of the angels say, yeah, no one wolf whistles at me anymore.
Oh, this sort of,
did you hear that same conversation?
Yes, yeah. I'd actually check myself. Yeah.
So, Alice, have we gone too far with all of this stuff, have we, that you're just not getting as noticed anymore or pinched on the backside or anything like that, which we're told obviously is a no-no and you're not meant to do it.
I thought I heard at the same time it used to happen at least once a week.
Yeah, now it's not happening anymore.
Pinched on the bum.
Yeah, right, Alice the Wag, have things gone too far, have they?
You guys are just the worst people.
What?
You're just clearly talking about me. Sitting there with your stupid little smiles.
Oh, you feel guilty about this and you go for it, but
I didn't say it like it was a bad thing, like I'm missing things.
Oh, pigs, bum. Pigs.
I just made the observation that, yeah, like tradies, I've had a work site of tradies opposite my house now for 6 months and not one of them has ever wolf whistled.
Oh, no. Come on, lift your game, fella.
I keep wearing less and less clothes. I'm kidding. Yeah, I think times have definitely changed, guys. It's not a bad thing.
You can stop picking up the newspaper off the ground.
Oh, Bruce, you shouldn't have done a poo there. No, but guys, even in pubs, I feel like guys are a bit less inclined to come up and go, hey, can I buy you a drink? They're less forward. You know, I used to go out. Like,
oh, you just want free drinks.
No, oh my God, I'm not talking anymore. What's the point of getting me on this segment if you just go against everything I say?
No, we don't go
against it. But like, you know, you used to walk through a dance floor and like someone would grab your bum, no stress.
Right.
And now it's not happening as much. Mm. Right, like, we'll just be getting older.
I have to admit that I did enjoy the odd wolf whistle, especially because I feel like I got a lot more fit and slimmer just as the movement came in. So I've missed my boat. Like, and I would have really enjoyed a couple of years of just a bit of walking past the sites. I mean, there's an apartment building being built across the road that's been there for a year and I haven't had anything.
Nothing.
A lot of hiders.
Nothing. It's really sad.
Righto.
Emma G. I've had a few looks from the apartment across the road.
But wolf whistle. Looks don't count. See.
Look, a little wolf whistle's harmless. I don't mind that. I don't really want to be felt up or grabbed on the arse. No. No,
that's I'm with you. Assault charge.
But you feel that blokes have really backed off, though?
Yeah, like, I really
Alice
do
said,
feel
like,
that.
Say if you're in a pub, blokes just won't
Absolutely. Approach. A guy will not approach you for ages. Like, I could be by myself at a bar waiting for a friend, and a guy will not come up to me. That's just like...
We're scared.
It's probably also because of Tinder and stuff coming in as well that they feel like they don't need to because they just meet you online, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's probably true as well. Yeah.
And also because there's a total man drought in Adelaide and so they can have any girl that they want.
I believe this after Bruin Ditz's at behaviour this morning. I'm off you guys, actually.
All right, I think time to go there.
Really so. Thanks, angels.
Oh, thanks so much.
Imagine this is you, the moment you get the call. The call that tells you that you have just become Adelaide's newest millionaire. Triple M's Millionaire Listener. Listen to Ruin Dits in the morning. Win the cash. $1 million. Write your name on the $1 million check while you work.
Thanks to our mates at Automasters. Look cool and stay cool in the car this summer. Get an Automasters air conditioning service. 20 branches. Call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS.
How do you spell millionaire? With a triple M.
Not far away from our millionaire song, Tom Jonas, the new captain of Port Power, co-captain, is going to join us. But up next, our favourite segment, The Week That Was.
The top five things we've learned on Ruin Dits this week.
Top five.
Number 5. The pandas at the zoo have failed yet again to do it bear style.
Hopefully one day we can hear the pitter-patter of tiny panda paws.
But we learnt Pete Hellier might be keen to help.
What would you do with $1 million, Pete?
I would invest it in the pandas. Oh. $1 million worth of panda Viagra.
Yeah.
Just to get them going.
Yeah, I'd buy them some pornos.
Panda porn's not that good. It's all in black and white. Number 4. Home invasions were in the news this week, and the boys spoke to lawyer Jason Evarts and had a great question.
Can you defend yourself on your own property? How far can you go?
You can use whatever means that are reasonable and lawful. You can't pre-arm yourself.
What if you got, say, like a little baseball bat near your bed? You know, you give them a couple of smacks with it.
Rude, you can't arm yourself ahead of time.
So there you go. No baseball bats. That's cleared that up.
I don't want to go on with this thing. I want to go back to the baseball bat, all right?
Play ball.
If someone comes into my house and I've got it sitting there and you give him a couple of whacks on the leg or in the body or something and hurt him but not, you know, kill him, you can't get in trouble for that, surely.
Depends how many a couple of whacks is, Roo.
Yeah.
Can I just say to anyone, listen, I think we can take from this that Roo has got a baseball bat under his head. I think
considering to try and protect yourself in your house.
Yeah, we learnt you probably shouldn't break into Roo's house.
Boom! All right.
Number 3. Although they don't watch the show, we learnt what Roo and Dits have been missing on Married at First Sight.
Everyone except you and I are talking about it.
Let's show them some highlights.
Last time I had sex was New Year's Eve, 2009. Oh,
what? 10 years ago? That is a drought.
Alice, the producer, filled the guys in on some of the more complex, interwoven storylines.
She is in love with another guy.
Oh.
And our listeners called up with their reviews.
They can't walk away from the adverts because they come back on straight away. So, this is real good.
North Brighton, what do you think, Jim?
It's tragic, fellas. I'm going to hook up with him because he's hot. He's wearing a white linen shirt.
But Limo had possibly the best review of Married at First Sight.
How would you explain the show?
A giant cry for help.
Your husband took food from you?
This is not a position that I thought Matt and I would be in.
What sort of people are meeting each other?
Oh, flog A, meet flog B.
When he smiled, I first wanted to punch him in the jaw.
And then what do you think about flog C and flog D?
Yeah. I've lived on my own for a long period of time, so I don't have a kettle, I don't have an iron. Like, I've got one plastic cup in my house. I've got one plate.
Seriously?
That sums it up.
Number 2. Although Chris Dittmar is moving with the times and embracing social media...
What's it on our Instagram Triple M Adelaide page, whatever that means?
He's not quite ready to embrace emojis.
Emojis are not for blokes.
I'm going to start peppering you with emojis.
Girls send emojis. Blokes do not send emojis.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not. That's a girl thing.
Well, you wouldn't even like the old two beers.
Get to the point. Say what it is. I don't need emojis from a bloke.
Yeah, have some fun, you cranky old bugger.
Nah.
Right, I'm sending you the poo.
What's your favourite emoji?
The bag of cash on the weekends.
Roo's favourite emoji? The bag of cash.
Or the poo emoji.
And the number one thing we learned this week is a great Mark Rusciuto story from 1987.
I got sent a cheque when I was 12 from the West Adelaide Football Club. They sent me a $3,000 cheque.
When you were 12?
1987. Think about this. My old man was doing it fairly rough on the fruit property at the time, and my old man made me knock back that $3,000.
No way. Why?
He thought there might be more coming later on.
He might have been right.
He might have got that one right. He might have got it right.
So there you go. Mark Rusciuto's dad's favourite emoji is also the bag of cash.
The top 5 things we've learned on Roo and Dits this week.
Another big week here on Triple M.
Funny, isn't he, Sammy? Hey, Tom Jonas going to join us next in the Millionaire Song. What you have to listen out for is up next.
This role has got bigger than it's ever been. You know, the information we kept getting was this can be a working party that's incredibly successful. I'll say it one more time. It gives us the absolute best chance to win. And there's the one thing I know that Port Adelaide people and us as a football club stand for. It's winning, and we think this gives us the absolute best chance to win. We'll never jeopardise anything other than winning at this football club. It's the most important part.
Port Adelaide coach Ken Hinckley. Let's get on one of the co-captains. Tom Jonas, good morning.
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. Congratulations.
Yeah, well done, Tom.
Thank you very much.
Fair to say, people are divided. There's a little bit of negativity out there. How would you answer the critics of this decision? Why do Port Adelaide need co-captains?
Yeah, and that's to be expected. We've obviously got extremely passionate fans and we love them for that and we want them to have a say. And, you know, that's always going to be the way. Not everyone's always going to be the same page, but probably like you heard Kenny just saying, we're in a day and age where we're so lucky to have such great tradition that we obviously appreciate and honour, but at the same time, we're in the business of winning games, and the management team made the decision that having co-captains would be the best way to do that, whether it was three captains, four captains, zero captains. I think we're in the business of giving ourselves the best chance to win a premiership.
There are some clubs that have got three captains this year. There might be two of those, and there's lots of them that have got dual captains as well. So there's lots of different formulas out there at the moment, searching for whatever is best. Sydney have been super successful with the co-captains over the last 10 or 12 years. Is it true that Travis Boak suggested that co-captains could be really good? I mean, he's been the captain for a long time. He knows the pressure that comes with it. Did he endorse the co-captain idea?
Yeah, I think Kenny would bounce off him and a few of the other boys that have had some captaincy experience around the group, but I can't expressly say that Trav put it forward. I sort of discussed the role with him and... you know, he obviously didn't give too much away, but we sort of just worked in the general leadership space. So I'm sure if he did have something to say about that, Kenny would have taken it on board, given his high standing around the club.
Tom, this isn't a loaded question in any way. I'm just asking this as a sincere question, because Roo and I had a long discussion about this before we came on air this morning. Is tradition overrated?
Oh, I don't think so, because there's so many aspects of tradition that we'd... you know, live by and base our lives on day to day. But I think there are aspects of it that we do need to do away with. And that's not saying we won't go back to a solitary captain. Someone won't wear the number one. But at this stage, I feel like we're lucky that Ollie and I are both ready to take the club forward and hopefully follow in Trav's footsteps. So they've given us both a job.
Did you have to be convinced that co-captains was the right idea? Have you been a believer in one captain in the past?
Yeah, it never really crossed my mind. I know clubs have done it, but when you're playing under a solitary captain, you don't really think too much about the idea. And to be honest, I probably thought Ollie would be the next captain. So when my name was thrown up, I obviously was privileged to be put in that position. And if co-captains was going to be the option for us going forward, then I was happy to embrace it with both hands.
Mm. Now, I want to ask you about something personally, Tommy, because I find this very impressive. I saw you at your induction ceremony or your graduation ceremony last year. You've actually done law whilst being an AFL footballer. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I knocked that off a couple of years ago, so I've kind of just taken it easy since then. Started off a little wine company and done bugger all, but focused on footy, so it's been good.
Yeah. Roo and I were saying this morning, as a lawyer, you'd probably get a fair bit of work out in Port Adelaide.
Past players will give you a heap of phone calls.
Yeah, I don't know if I want it, though. I might just...
No, you won't get paid from your mates. Hey, Tommy, there's been a bit of negativity over a few things that have happened in the off-season, also, you know, injury-wise, and a few players making a couple of bad choices, but tell us, for Port Adelaide fans out there listening, what have they got to be optimistic about the year ahead? Tell us some of the good things that are happening that perhaps haven't been in the spotlight as much as they should have.
Oh, like a name, five good things straight off the bat. Scotty Lysett, Ryan Burton, Connor Rosie, Xavier Dersmer and Zach Butters, they're all looking extremely sharp. Yep. And I think three to five of them will be right in the money for round one. They're super impressive and they've been great people to have around the club. Yep. And then on top of that, I think the work we've done starting off in Noosa based around our connection and keeping the boys together has been incredible. And I've, you know, we always...
Who did that, Tom?
Tight group, but,
who came up with that?
It wasn't the mob that you've like used, but...
good on him, mate.
I think, Vossy's moved into a bit of a senior assistant role, so, yeah. He's really stepped up in that cultural space and been driving it and engaging people, past players of the club and other outsiders that can, hopefully help us come together and be a tighter group.
He was a co-captain himself when he started at Brisbane, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah, he's telling us that.
Not a bad bloke to get a bit of advice off, mate.
Not a bad bloke to get a bit of advice off on a lot of things.
Yeah. All right. And how's Hey Diddle Wines going?
Yeah, it's going well, Dits. Thanks for getting around it and Roo as well.
Yeah, well, hey, mate, if you're going to make wine, don't let it sell out. Like, yeah, we haven't got any stock in the pubs.
Nah, that's what you want, a bit of demand, Roo.
Yeah, right.
But, nah, I'm heading out to the Barossa of the Savos, just in the Finster Vintage, so about to pick out 2019 Shiraz.
Beautiful.
Good on you, Tommy.
Don't forget us, will you? Tommy, well done on the appointment, mate. Co-captain of Port Adelaide, and good luck for the season ahead.
Thanks, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on.
Good on you. Tom Jonas from Port Adelaide. Roo and Dits here on Triple M. Roo, just going on from the Tom Jonas chat. Now,
he's a great lad, by the way, and I'd be very proud to have him as a captain of any football club very I was impressive. Tied up with. He's a ripper. He's tough, smart, and you can just hear he is focused. He's put his law degree to the side.
Yep.
He wants to be the best footballer he can be.
I asked him a question. Is tradition important? Now, the Crows have gone with co-captains this year as well. So Port's not the only club to do it, but for some reason,
actually a fair few.
But for some reason, Port fans are up in arms and are speaking out about it. You know, but when you hear Tom Jonas talk and heard from Ken Hinckley, it sort of you think, well, that makes sense. They haven't made this decision lightly, have they? No. They've put a heck of a lot of thought into it.
The role has changed so much. Footy has changed so much in 149 years.
But I went to a chat at Port Adelaide years ago when the Magpies brought in a coach from Victoria who basically stood up at the Guernsey presentation and said, "Forget about all the tradition here. We start again today. We're making our own history." And he was saying things like that, and I was taking a backbite. I thought, hang on, mate, you can't just throw all of this out the window. And I want to go on and sort of go off on a tangent slightly. If you walk into the Australian 11 dressing room and you're handed your baggy green cap, can you as a young bloke go, "Oh, I don't believe in the baggy green, I'd do my own thing"? There's a lot of tradition that goes with it.
The baggy green, that's a no-brainer. Like any football club jumper, you are proud to put it on. I don't think that anyone be say that that's not important.
So tradition is important.
Yep. But not all tradition, I don't think. Like, I don't get the number one is so important.
Well, it's a tradition.
I know it's a tradition, and I respect Warren Treadray's thoughts. He tweeted yesterday that the number one. I tweeted back. I said, who really cares what number a player wears? Is that going to help you get the ball and kick a goal?
Well, if we took 32 off you at the time, if you rolled up to training one day and they said, "Well, you're wearing 11 this week, Roo," you wouldn't have liked that. You are number 32.
That's just a number that I wore. It's not a club tradition, and every Crows captain's worn a different number I looked up Richmond before. All their captains, most of their captains wore number 7 in honour of Jack Dyer. They're 17 in front of Jack Dyer because he's one of their great players. Trek Cotchin decided not to wear that, break tradition, and won a premiership.
Mm.
So it doesn't affect on-field performance. Having said that, Jack Dyer, that would have been a hard thing to do. Right, very disrespectful in some ways.
This isn't a Port Adelaide question, then. Is tradition important, or do we make our own history? And you've just said it. Trent Cotchin wore number 9, they win a flag. No one worries about that he didn't wear 17. I want to throw that question out there. Is it important? 133353, are traditions important, or do you make your own history?
I like what Ken Hinckley said. He respects tradition, and I respect tradition, but if it's time to change it for the betterment of now, then I think you have to. That's how I see it.
All right, 133353, please have your say. Ruined it's here on Triple M.
No, we'll put number one away until we get to that position again at some stage in our future that we have a singular captain, if that's what happens. I think both boys now will wear their normal numbers, 42 and 16.
The only thing with that, I'd ask Ken, is that when that time comes around, haven't we just opened paved the way, Roo, for a captain to go, no, I want to keep my number 32 or I want to keep my number 10 or whatever? Yeah. That tradition's just been broken, hasn't it?
Well, it has, but it can be mended, I think.
Do you think?
And I think any singular captain would wear number one and value it and have pride in it. But the fact is, with co-captains, it's impossible.
1A and 1B.
Yeah, don't know how you can do it, but it makes it hard. Let's go to Malala. G'day, Aiden.
How you going, guys?
What do you think here?
For me, I would have liked to have seen the number one Guernsey stay with one captain, but I think we're not looking at the bigger picture, where you look at cricket like 3-4 years ago, they're going to have a day-night Ashes match with a white ball. 100 years ago, if you said that, everyone would be rolling in their graves.
Yeah. Exactly.
You look at the McGrath Foundation having pink baggy greens for the cricket, for no one bats an eyelid.
Yep.
But that's symbolic, I think. They don't wear them on the field, do they? They still wear their baggy green, but they have a cap for the morning ceremony, I think, don't they?
Yeah, but for a day-night white ball Ashes match.
Yep. No, take your point, Aidan. It's a good point.
Yeah, let's go to Paralawi. G'day, Malcolm.
Hey, boys.
What do you think, Malcolm?
I don't understand. What's with a leadership group? Surely you can have one bloke just wear the number one, and like you have the other seven captains. Like, I don't understand why TJ or Ollie just couldn't be number one. Like, just name them as captain. Like, how does having two captains make your team play any better?
Well, it spreads the load, all the workload they've got to do on field and off field, I think they're saying, and they think they're both suitable to do that. So they're splitting the role with all the functions, sponsors, training, lots of different things. Travis Boak, very, very keen and said it's a good idea. The role's changed a lot.
And you said about Richmond's tradition, like, didn't Chris Newman start that in, like, 2009? It's not like every Richmond captain since Jack Dyer's wore number 17.
No, there's been a lot, though. There's been a heap of them. If you look back over the time, there's been lots of them. Yep. So, anyway, not all of them, but a lot of them.
All right. Thanks, Malcolm.
Hmm. Look, it's an interesting one. I think everyone loves tradition.
Has there been as much debate or any debate at the Crows?
I think there'd be lots of people that didn't want co-captains, absolutely. But I think it's been fairly well embraced. Look, if the Crows are 2-6 or if Port are 2-6, I reckon it'll come back up.
Yeah,
just like last year when the Crows were 6-3, no one was talking about the pre-season camp.
Yeah.
As soon as they started losing, the pre-season camp come up.
Yeah,
if you play well, everything's
all forgotten. Let's go to North Haven. Good morning, Brian.
Yeah, morning, guys. This is something that's never even been thought of or discussed, but why not just put the letter C on both the back of the Guernseys? No one's ever done it before.
There's a break in tradition, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. Oh, it's a great idea.
Yeah, all right. We'll take that to the AFL.
They wear C on a netball court on bibs, don't they?
Hey, Georgie Carroll, very, very funny lady at the Fringe Dits. We're going to have a chat to her very, very shortly.
All right. Now, in the meantime, if you watched the project on Channel 10 last night and you've got the code word, ring now, 133353 for the Superloop Adelaide 500 package that we've got. If you saw the project last night, give us a ring. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M Roo. There's a brand new phone that's hit the market and it folds in halves.
Folds in halves, got five cameras, got heaps of tricks on it, but... Going to hit you in the pocket for more than $3,000.
You're joking.
Can't drop that one down the toilet when you've had a few drinks.
No. Our technical commentator, our man on the spot, he was in San Francisco for the launch. Trevor Long, good morning. What's great about this phone?
Could you imagine getting this phone out of the box and then dropping it? And it broke down the middle. I mean, so it's basically two phones together with a hinge.
Yep.
That's how big it is. That's how kind of fat it is. It's 17 millimetres thick. So it's foldable. And the idea that you would have your current phone and you open it up like a book and inside is essentially a tablet. 7.3-inch tablet. The screen actually looks really good. I assumed it would be a low-quality screen, but no, it looks amazing. So if you're looking at maps on the little front screen and then you open it up, the maps become the main screen.
Wow.
So it's so powerful you could run three different apps at the same time. So, look, it's trying to merge the tablet and my smartphone market partially, but it's also just trying to set a path for the future where foldable screens, roll-up screens, who knows what sort of screens are going to be dominating our lives, but I predict $2,999 at least. I can't imagine who's going to buy one.
So, do you think it is good? What the fold up just makes it smaller and more easy to carry? Is that the main feature of that?
Yeah. So, Samsung are basically trying to be first to market it. There's going to be other foldable phones this year, and they just went, "Look, we've spent 5, 6, 7 years trying to build this technology." And we've got it right. We've made the hinge perfect. We've made the screen perfect so it looks flat. And they think there's a market for people who want the much bigger screen. For say, you're on the tram, the train, the bus, and you want to watch Netflix or Stan, we've got a bigger screen to do that now. So personally, I would just opt for a much bigger smartphone. But they're just basically, it's a peeing contest and they're trying to show that they're first and best. And,
yep.
Well, they're first out of the box.
Now, I've always had an Apple iPhone, and as you know, with Apple, you download all your contacts and everything onto your computer in case you lose your info or whatever. I know this is a very simple question, but I don't know much about this technological stuff. Can I have a Samsung phone and still do all of that as well?
100%. I run different phones every couple of weeks, basically. So all my contacts, what I do, my recommendation is put all your contacts in the cloud. So run a Gmail or a Google account, and all your contacts, all your email, everything, your calendar, it's all there. So any phone you turn on, whether it's an Apple or a Samsung or a Huawei, you turn it on, you put in your account, and everything's there for you. It is very possible to switch between phones. It's not something you should balk at. But it always takes, in my view, 2 to 3 weeks to feel comfortable with the new environment. So whatever you do, folks, if you're going to switch brands, give yourself time.
All right.
So you're not a drug dealer or trying to get away from your wife or doing anything wrong. You just do that because you have to try the new phone, swapping them every 2 weeks.
That's right. So I'm literally, the phone I'm talking to you on now is the Samsung Galaxy S10. It was announced yesterday along with the foldable phone. I've had it for 12 hours.
Right.
So, you know, I've got to try them all.
Right.
12 hours, it's nearly obsolete. Yeah. So, just finally, is this a phone that you, if it was affordable, we're saying it's over $3,000 at the moment, is this a phone that you'd recommend? Would we go out and buy one of these? Do you think it's a good phone?
No. No, I think this will be, this is the first iteration, I think version 3 or 4. So a couple of years down the track, folding will be exciting, there'll be something different. But right now, I'd be lining up for the new basic Samsung phones, which are the Galaxy S10 models, replacing, obviously, the S9, and they look great. Great camera, great screen, great features. They'll be your run-about everyday phones. This thing is just for headlines and for people that really want to show off.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Good advice. All right. Thanks, Trevor.
Cheers.
Good on you, Trev.
Trevor Long, our technical expert. Hey, right now, though, we've been meeting comedians all this week who are appearing down at the Fringe. And right now, a local lady, very, very funny. Good morning, Georgie Carroll.
Hello, how are you going?
Good.
Morning, everyone.
You came and saw us last year. We had a chat.
Yeah, we liked chatting.
You've got a Pommy accent, but you're really one of ours. You're an Adelaide
girl. I'm a citizen now, mate.
Yeah.
One of yours. Thanks,
where did you come from in the UK?
like a village outside of Manchester.
What was the village called?
Rochdale.
Rochdale.
Yeah, it's never in the news for good stuff. It's always riots or, you know, the rubbish people on Wife Swap, that kind of
right
thing.
Right.
Yeah, like that's Rochdale. Mm,
so that's what, you could be on Married at First Sight or something like that.
That's pretty much how it worked there. If you didn't cheat or punch you, then you married it. So that's kind of...
Yeah, now, she passed the test.
Yeah, that's it. Now, you were a nurse, but you've left the nursing. Is this because the comedy thing's gone crazy?
Like 3 weeks ago I left.
So. Are you joking?
Yeah, all kind of just came together. Husband, because we live in South Australia.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was redundant for a while there because the job market ain't great, is it? And then, yeah, it all kind of, my career took off a bit and, yeah, so then he's now got a job again and I can travel more and he can look after the kids more.
Good.
So was ramping happening when you were a nurse?
No, the hospitals were totally running on time when I worked there. Yeah. And then I left and the ambulance is queuing outside. I don't know what's going on, mate.
Which hospital did you work in?
I worked at the Landmark.
Oh,
I had to keep that a secret for years. That right. There's policies.
Right.
There's policies about what I could say, but now they don't own me. They were gorgeous.
Being treated by you. You'd go in, you'd be sick, you'd be down, you'd be having a bad day, and you'd leave laughing your head off.
Oh, you get the odd ropiness, don't you? But most of us are pretty chipper.
Yeah.
Most of us are generally well-balanced, nice, kind. Yeah. We judge you, but we still care.
You judge you.
We definitely judge you, but we still care.
Now, what is your show about?
Oh, this one's kind of about, I suppose it would be my breakup track to nursing.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I miss it already. It's only been 3 weeks. I loved it.
Really?
I loved it, mate. It was a proper gang activity. Comedy's quite the lone wolf thing, and really just the universal truths, just we're all looking for love and happiness, do you know, like, and yeah, just trying to keep, it's certainly no one dies in it, do you know what I mean, it's just happy, I just want you to laugh, there's nothing clever, just funny, that's me really.
Did you ever go in to see a patient, ever catch them, you know, like with their partner in bed or anything like that?
Oh, 20-odd-year-olds are quite often hopping with each other, but just snuggling. And if you're up for a snuggle, you're not ill enough.
dits at us.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Yeah, they're a bit of a...
What happened to you, mate?
Oh, well, I thought I was going to die, and I said to my wife at the time, I said, hey, I need you to jump in because this could be my last ever.
You'd be private as well, wouldn't you? You'd have your own room. You'd be private, mate.
No, it was an open door.
He'd be in the burn side.
There are only 10 others in the ward.
I've caught people in the toilets.
Oh, have you?
In emergency, yeah.
In emergency?
In emergency, yeah. Just people tend to be...
bit toe-y?
Yeah.
Had they feeling met a bit before
down
or not?
And
feeling
a bit down, and then they spend a long time together in triage.
I must go to emergency more often.
Yeah, generally people that didn't know each other before. So,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's now, were all of your ex-workmates come down? Like, were your little tent be full of nurses?
So good, mate. Yeah, they just they backed me from the beginning. Right. The first open mic I did, I didn't even know comedy was an art form. I thought it was like karaoke, and they just had a go.
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, come and just watch." And the room was full, and ever since they've.
So
just
were you zany at work? Did your fellow nurses think you were funny and, you know, always cracking a gag?
Yeah.
So you had fun at work?
Yeah, really. For a long time, people had said, oh, do you do stand-up or you should do comedy? You know, like some people go, oh, you should be a model. That had never happened. It was always, oh, God, you should do stand-up. And I honestly had no idea it was an art form. And then, I found it really easy for like a year.
So to all the fellas listening, if you go to Georgie's show, there'll be a room full of nurses.
Yeah, well. Yeah, they make male nurses as well. Yeah. So any women that want to rock up, they can find them too.
All right, so where's the show on at?
I'm in the Garden of Unearthly Delights.
Right.
Wow. In like the second biggest or something. They're called The Box.
Mm-hmm.
No jokes about that, is there?
No.
I'm really excited.
And a long season?
2 weeks. Right. Never do a full month of anything. Too hard. Yeah. I'm off doing Brisbane Comedy Festival halfway through this festival. So,
So starting on the 4th?
The 4th to the 17th. Good proper time. Right. It's like 8 o'clock-ish. Oh, so you can have a meal first or get drunk after. Yep. Have a night out. You deserve it, mate. Yeah. Treat yourself.
All right. Go and see Georgie Carroll. You're bound to laugh, I tell you. Georgie, thanks for coming in.
Thanks,
and we'll
guys.
See you down at the box.
Yeah.
You go. She's a funny lady.
She is funny. Hey, we have got the Millionaire Song coming up very, very shortly. We're also going to give the Superloop Adelaide 500 experience away as well. It's a fantastic prize. We've got the pressure test, James Brayshaw, week that was, and I am due to tip you a winner at the races.
Yeah, you are due. Hey, Ruined It's here. Just a reminder, limited number of Adelaide Oval memberships available today. Right now, go to adelaideoval.com.au/football membership. Access to every Crows and Port Adelaide home game, and you'll sit in the best seat in the house, the Western Stand members area, okay? And you get priority access if the Crows or the Power are in the AFL finals played either at Adelaide Oval or MCG for the first 3 weeks. So this is a good deal. So go to adelaideoval.com.au/football membership.
Imagine this is the moment your life changes forever. The moment you become Adelaide's newest millionaire.
$1 million.
Triple M's Millionaire Listener. Listen to Ruined It's in the morning. Win the cash. Write your name on the $1 million check while you work.
Thanks to our mates Automasters, get a free return Uber to home or work with car servicing and repairs. Call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS. T's and C's apply.
How do you spell millionaire? With a Triple M.
8:24, Ruined It's here on Triple M. What is it that kicks off tonight, Ru?
AFLX.
AFLX.
Don't be like that. The AFL football season's just around the corner.
Kicks off with paper, rock, scissors. Well, you reckon I shouldn't be bloody cynical and...
I had to teach Sarah's old man about paper, rock, scissors at the tea table because of this last night.
Gotta
I said, this
kidding.
Is important.
Right. And Channel 7 are covering this garbage.
Of course they are. And they got all the A-graders there. Plus Tex. But this man headlines it. James Brayshaw, good morning, Bray.
Amazing that Dittmar should be the president of the Flat Earth Society. He just wants to take us back to getting around in horse and carts and putting stops in your boots with a hammer.
We've got the greatest game in the world. We have got the greatest game in the world as it is, and some clown thinks we should go and play it on a rugby pitch or a soccer pitch and have 7 on the field and paper, rock, scissors. What is going on?
I'll tell you what's going on. They're trying, and I understand what they're doing. They're trying to come up with a format that they can take to England and to the US and to Asia.
where they don't have grounds like ours. That's basically what they're doing.
That's right. You didn't. A lot of people wouldn't have liked Big Bash a few years ago, Dits. And look at it now.
You probably didn't like it this year, the way the strikers went.
Yeah, look at the record crowds and the TV ratings this year. Yeah, wow, they're all over.
It's going well, mate. It's going well.
No, I think there was comfortably over a million watching Sunday. So
that's right.
Very happy with that leading into the news.
Hey, Bray, what are you expecting tonight? I know they've got four good captains in Betts and Dangerfield and Fife and Jack Revolt and a lot of big names out there. What are you expecting?
Well, that's the thing that's going to be different. I mean, last year we did it. No one had a clue what it was about, really. And a lot of the clubs, understandably, put their, you know, list cloggers up to playing it. So it was a lot of it was pretty hard to watch. You know, guys that are either rookies or have been on the list for a year and were, you know, taking pick bloody 75 and no one knew they were. And so last year was a different beast. But this year...
We just lost you a bit there, bro.
He's back.
Oh, sorry, boys. Yeah, so the teams this year, I mean, I'm just looking at Danger's team for a start. Obviously himself, but Brad Hodge, Steel Sidebottom, Andrew Gaff, you know, Andy McGrath from Essendon, Tommy Rockcliffe, Daniel Rich, Luke Parker. The Indigenous boys speak for themselves, you know, Travi Varko. Eddie Betts, your man, he's a superstar, as is Sean Burgoyne, Ellis Yolman, McDonald, Tip and Woody. I reckon the difference we'll see is the quality of the players. Now, these are as good as our game has. There's only eight on the field, so there's plenty of room for them to strut this stuff. It's quick, lots of scoring, only 10-minute halves, no time on, so the games are, you know, are over pretty quick. And, you know, it's just a different form of the game.
Now, you've got Tex Walker as a part of your commentary team, so make sure you speak slowly.
Very big risk. Yeah. You're going to have fast stuff on the field.
What is he going to bring to the table, Tex?
Oh, not much.
Fast-flowing football on the field and very slow commentary.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the big man, actually. I saw him during the Adelaide Test. He was in good form, so... yeah, he'll be a good addition. Luke Darcy will be there. Abby Holmes down on the boundary, so we're ready to go.
Are you into emojis, bro?
Not really. I actually put up on Instagram a couple of years ago what I described as a live emoji, which is myself doing a stupid head. I got that much abuse that I ended up having to take it down.
Now, Rui was telling me the other day, one reason we raised this is that, Rui, you were saying that with no runners this year.
Yeah, in the home and away season, no runners in live play, only after goals.
You see they'll hold up signboards on the side of the ground.
Yep, and they can use symbols and things on there.
Emojis.
For set plays and all sorts of stuff, that's going to be a change in the regular season.
Ray, we are entering a new modern era. There's no doubt about
that. Well, I think it may be a slight overcorrection, but I was over the amount of people that were on a footy ground.
Oh, yeah.
Not only the players, but it was ridiculous. You know, you had doctors and physios and trainers and bloody each team had two runners. It seemed like there was equally amount of people on the ground who weren't actually playing the game. So
you've got to say, though, we miss the likes of Dave Arnfield, though, don't we?
Yeah, what about Arnfield? He might have actually started all of this. He was such a nuisance that this actually started with him. Yeah. One of the great tests ever. Now, Dittmar, drifted over to me that you've finally taken your health and your weight seriously. You've got off personality tablets during the week, and you've dropped a few kilos. Is this true?
Well, it might be. I am.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, my modelling career is about to take off.
That's good, because my mail at the back end of last year was they were about to have to put a new front door in because you couldn't fit into the existing one. So I'm very pleased to hear you finally listened to your mate.
Yeah, we've got double sliding doors that open up that part. That's right.
Very good.
Have a good night on Channel 7 tonight, the AFLX.
Good speaking to you, boys.
Good on you, buddy.
James Brayshaw, Ruined It's here on Triple M.
On tonight from 6.30, we have got the pressure test coming up very, very shortly and a tip on the Nags. Oh, we've got a new era at Port Adelaide with co-captains finally confirmed by the club yesterday. Ken Hinckley had a bit to say.
This role has got bigger than it's ever been. You know, the information we kept getting was this can be a working party that's incredibly successful. I'll say it one more time. It gives us the absolute best chance to win. And there's the one thing I know that Port Adelaide people and us as a football club stand for. It's winning, and we think this gives us the absolute best chance to win. We'll never jeopardise anything other than winning at this football club. It's the most important part.
Now, Tom Jonas joined us earlier this morning, Roo, and he spoke very, very well, didn't he? So
he's going to be a great leader, and Ollie Wines is going to grow into the role as well, and you know, probably be the future, maybe single captain.
Now, how's this for something different? Now, we're talking about these co-captains. Sean Maynard's just handed me a story. This will blow this out of the water. Penrith in the NRL have just announced six captains.
Oh, no.
They have.
No.
But half the team on the ground are captains. Isn't that incredible? And we're debating about whether Port should have two. It's incredible. Anyway, let's
move
on.
Not sure about that one.
No. The Crows and the Power, their under 23 game is tomorrow at Theberton Oval.
Yep.
And then the real showdown next week in Port Pirie.
Yeah, real pre-season showdown. The JLT season starts at Port Pirie. It'll probably be 40-odd degrees up there next Saturday by the sounds of it, but they'll be fine. As we just heard from James Brayshaw, the AFLX gets underway at Marvel Stadium tonight, 6:30 on Channel 7. You'll see lots of the competition's big names out there running around and doing a lot of different things in the world of AFL. So we'll wait and see what happens there, Dits. Should be an interesting night on the box.
The Crows women play tomorrow night in Darwin against Fremantle. So good luck to them. They need to win. Adelaide United take on the Jets in Newcastle Sunday. And good news for the Lightning girls, they're closer to securing an ownership group from what we're told.
Sounds like it's a done deal, Dits.
So that's good. Hey, and by the way, the FFSA, the National Premier League NPL, starts tonight. The brand new season, the reigning champions Campbelltown, Joe Mullen's mob Campbelltown at home at Newton against the Adelaide Blue Eagles. That's 7 o'clock tonight. That is the game of the round. So good luck to all the teams.
Some good tucker out there tonight at Campbelltown too, Dits, won't they?
Yeah. The Italians out Campbelltown way. They always have good
lasagna.
They'll have a bit of pasta going.
A bit of pasta
out there.
Beautiful.
No worries. Hey, that's our look at sport. Just a reminder, pledge to quit smoking by round one, March 21st. Head to MMLovesAquitter.com.au.
If you want to win $1,000 cash, and we all want to do that, give us a call right now for the pressure test. 133353.
104.7 Triple M. Ruined Dids. $1,000 pressure test.
Need a car service or repair? Zip Pay is now available at Automasters, giving you the option to fix now and pay later. Over 20 branches. Call 1300 Automasters.
You can't handle the pressure.
Love pressure. Pressure makes diamonds. Let's go to Ridgehaven. Hello, Robert.
G'day, Rhea. How are you?
Very, very good, mate. What are you up to today?
Beautifying amenity spaces of outdoor areas.
You a
gardener? You like that one?
Landscape? I do like it. I was just trying to work out. Are you a landscaper or...?
Landscaper, that's correct.
Well done. Oh. Good stuff. All right. $1,000 cash would be absolutely perfect for the weekend, I'm presuming.
That'd be awesome.
All right. Well, this is gettable.
Make it easy.
Make it easy?
Yeah.
Do you follow the footy?
Yeah.
All right. All right. 10 correct answers in 30 seconds. We'll get $1,000 cash in your pocket, and we might be out of a job. You ready to go?
Yeah. Go for it.
AFLX is on tonight at Marvel Stadium. Give us 10 players that are playing AFLX tonight.
Matt Fyfe, Eddie Burt, Andrew McGrath. We'll have a clue on my bits. I can't think.
Luke Hodge.
Luke Hodge. Tom Rockcliffe.
Yep.
Not a big fan of it. We'll have a clue.
Danger.
Dangerfield.
Luke Hodge.
Selwood. Brad Hodge.
Time's up.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Correct.
Bad luck, buddy. You started off well, but it was a bit of a tricky one. A few big names, and they haven't spoken too much about the others. But
$50 voucher to head off to Automasters for your next service. And just a reminder, Zip Pay now available for your next service at Automasters. Call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS.
I am under pressure myself.
You are.
My tipping has been...
Well, you've had 2 seconds in a row.
Yes, a bit unlucky. But, you know, unlucky doesn't get you the money, does it?
Third time lucky.
All right, I'm going to try and deliver a tip for you up next.
Ruined It's here on Triple M. Just a reminder, the millionaire song, the next one you need to have a listen out for, Mel the Button Pusher. What do we got? It's a lonely old night.
John Mellencamp.
There you go. All right, that's the next song for the $1 million, Roo.
We don't want Alice's joke, do we, the Mellencamp? No, we don't want that. Hey, I have failed to deliver the last couple of weeks, Dits, and I'm not happy about it. So I'm going to try and turn the tables.
Time to lift.
Got an interesting name of the tip that I've got for you. We're heading to Morphettville again, and we're going to the last race of the day.
We've got to wait all day.
You do. Race 8, number 5. The horse name is Flop, which is what I will be if this horse doesn't win or run a place. I'm actually going to back this each way.
This is quite appropriate.
$7, very appropriate. $7.50 in the paper.
Oh, hang on, we're backing it each way.
Yes, confidence is down.
Oh, gee.
Each way.
You said you're going to give us a winner, not a maybe.
Each way all day. If you want to back it straight out, Dits, back it straight out. Right. If you want to go each way and have co-captains at Port Adelaide, all right, do that as well. Oh. All right, fail to make the hard decision. Right. Each way. Race 8, number 5, a horse called Flop. I think it can get the chockies tomorrow, so let's hope I get back on the winner's list and gamble responsibly.
Let's all hope, yes.
Mm. Yeah. All right, have a great day, everyone. Going to the Fringe with all the great acts we've had on Triple M this week and all the recommendations. Have a great night and day tomorrow. What else is on this weekend? There's always something on in Adelaide. The weather's brilliant.
Head down to Molly Duca tomorrow if you want to go to the Fringe act. Be a beautiful day down there as well, down McLaren Vale.
Yep, or just sit at home and chill out for the weekend. Do whatever you want.
Have a great weekend.
Catch you later, everybody.